This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to this latest edition of Blues NHL Podcast, your St. Louis Blues fan podcast, brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Happy to be back in the studio. I've got one of the members of the team here, Mr. Darren Kimball. What's going on, buddy?
Good day and bad day, so we'll talk about it here, but good day and bad day.
Good day, bad day. I mean, it's beautiful outside. You look like you're heading to the golf course after this, probably. I mean, what could be so bad about it?
Well,
the fact that you're here?
Good day is I don't got to see Jamie's mug. That's good. Bad day is, on the way up here, you learned on the radio that, on Twitter I did, that Dave Semenko had died. I didn't know that. He had cancer, and he passed away. And growing up, probably around 15, 16, 17 years old, 18, that's when the Oilers went on their run. And, the great one was winning cups down there with that Messier and Anderson and all these guys. And Semenko was he was the big boy. And I just got into that type of hockey, where I was starting to fight and everything. And he was the big, I'm not saying he was the toughest guy by any means, but he was the big boy. He was the big name because he was taking care of the great one. So when you come up there and you see that, and I just met the man at Chasers Ice Guardian, the premier they had in town here, and the first time I'd ever met him. He was a monster of a man. But
big
he
guy.
Was, yeah. And I got to meet him for the first time. I had nothing. I guess 2 weeks ago they said that he went in the doctor and found out, and it happened that quick. So kind of sad day for hockey in my type of role that I used to play. But, the guy was he was an icon in Canada one time.
Well, interestingly enough, the passing of Dave Semenko, we're going to talk obviously on this show about not the passing, but the leaving of a guy that did and didn't fill that role for the St. Louis Blues. Not because the didn't wasn't because he didn't want to. I think the didn't is the way the NHL is changing. Hence why I think the Blues can even contemplate a deal like that. But interestingly enough, before we get too in-depth into that part of it and we do all of our other stuff, the interesting changes is like back then, that's how much hockey's changed in just that amount of time. And, the voice you heard chime in just once or twice here is our friend of the show, Chris Lakin, and as we asked him to join us, because he's, in the end, he's a huge Blues fan, and he was really into the draft. And I noticed that he was tweeting out a lot of stuff, Facebooking out a lot of stuff. He was very encouraged by the Blues draft, as I think a lot of Blues fans were, so we asked him to join us. So that was who you
Thanks
heard chiming in there. But the interesting thing is that I remember, back in that day, people are talking about the loss of Reeves, and again, I don't want to get too much into that now before we do all our gratuitous plugs and all that stuff, but it's just changed. I mean, back then, if you touched Gretzky, there was no maybe.
Yeah.
He just came on the ice and grabbed you, and you were going.
And when you get a guy, I'm 6'2", and I was looking up at Mr. Semenko, and when I'm looking up at him, and I'm thinking back in the day, like what you just said, if you touched the man, he was coming, so the gloves were off, and so you got a monster upon you, and it was an intimidating force, and that's the way it was. And obviously, And I'll save a little bit. I'll get off that because it's going to tie into where we want to go to, and I got my opinion on that. So we'll go there in a little bit here.
All right. Well, let's do those shameless plugs and remind everybody that this is your Blues NHL podcast, and you can check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you'll find the shows, whether they be the latest or the ones we did in the past. The thing that we would advise is by going to bluesnhlpodcast.com, you can subscribe to the show. I think we had kind of mentioned it that in the summer we would throw these shows together just to kind of keep the interest level up there. There's a lot of Blues fans out there that are diehards, and they're always looking for stuff. We were going to do these shows when things happen. Well, obviously we had the draft last week. We lost some players. We made some changes. So we felt like it warranted a show, albeit we wish Mr. Rivers could be with us. But this guy, again, oddly enough, you think, man, it's 100 degrees outside, but this guy's on the ice every day training young players that just want to get better. But we're hoping to have him on a call-in here, and I'm not quite sure how this is going to work, so you'll have to stay tuned on that. But again, that's bluesnhlpodcast.com. If you just click subscribe to the podcast when you get there, you'll get a notification. It's absolutely free, and it takes like 30 seconds. You'll get a notification when we put out the show, and that way you won't miss anything. So we'd appreciate it if you do that. Social media is really where we make our hay. You'll find us at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. All you got to do is go to Facebook as well and just type in Blues NHL Podcast. Our ask of you is to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. You guys have helped build this show simply by sharing all of our stuff. When you see the show, whether it be posted on Twitter or Facebook, if you could just share it in an effort to reach all the great Blues fans out there, we would greatly appreciate it. Again, could not do the show without the great folks at lineupmedia.fm. Tons and tons of great podcasts on there. I guarantee you they take your entertainment time very seriously. Check them out at lineupmedia.fm. You will find another podcast on there, I assure you, that'll be worth your entertainment time. You know, two birds on a bat. It's Cardinal season. Most Blues fans are Cardinal fans. That's the show that I do with Yachty's brother Benji Molina and my buddy Steve Flowers and Fish when he can be here. It's a great show. It's a simple everyday man's fan show just like this Blues, and we cover the Cardinals. So, like I said, lots of great shows over there. Let's get into this now. I want to first start off. Let's talk just briefly about the changes, because then that'll lead us into the draft, because it did involve some draft stuff. But one of the things I feel like had to happen, and we talked a lot about it. We talked about the list and how that was going to affect the Blues. Some things worked out the way we thought they would. We thought there might be a little more to the expansion draft, maybe some deals being made, take this guy, don't take this guy. In the end, now in hindsight, you look back and say, okay, this all kind of added up to where we are today. The first thing being we lose David Perron. That's the very first domino to fall in this whole thing. I thought David was a much better player his second time here. He added a little bit of two-way to his game, if you will. And you look at the fact that he scored 20-something goals, and you feel like that's a big loss. And while 20-something goals doesn't grow on trees anymore, with what the Blues have coming, I felt like we could withstand that. Plus, the bottom line is we needed to save a few bucks somewhere. Your thoughts on that right away, Darren?
Yeah, I think with the expansion draft, which went on, I think the Blues made out, unscathed, realistically. It was, you're going to lose somebody. You lose Perron coming back on the second stint, like you say, was better. But is that replaceable? You're damn right it is. Let's not fool anybody here. So he's going to go off onto his little merry way, but you got people that can replace that. So we're good there. So as far as the expansion part of it goes, the Blues, there's no rhyme or reason. They were good.
They were fine there. Chris. Yep. Being from the, you really are going to bring, kind of like me almost, that fan perspective. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on David Perron, his second stint? I mean, I know you were, you liked him. So.
I liked him when he was originally here. I think his head was screwed on a little bit stronger than it was the first time. I think I'd always heard that, there were issues with him, the first time he was here with sort of maybe his interactions with the staff or with some of the other guys. I don't know, the room wasn't the same this time as it was the first time, Ocean and a lot of those other guys that were here when he was originally here had departed. So I liked him here. I agree that he's it's the strongest scenario, I think, was for him to move on, to open up that space to move on to some other things. I mean, I like the guy. He sort of fell off in the playoffs and he didn't do much. So And he was only locked in for another year, I think, right?
Yeah, one more year. So. I mean, it wasn't a ton of money, but it helped us. You know, I always compare guys, especially athletes, to material things. And to me, David Perron was that motorcycle that's parked in your garage that it's nice to know you have it there, but at the end of the day, I could do so much more with the money I'd probably have and the space I have in my garage. Yeah. And again, nice to have, and I'd love to have it. But again, to Darren's point, something was going to happen, and I felt like that was, you know, our protected list. When you really looked at it, there was kind of like a buildup to it, and then when it came out, you're like, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think the only, you know, there were people that just purely looked at the stats and thought, man, I can't believe we're exposing Perron and protecting Reeves or whoever it was, but there were a couple others, but. You know, in hindsight, you know, it worked out.
I think if you look at it, the expense draft is basically a Debbie Downer for the St. Louis people. Because now if Bo Meester had not been protected, I think there would have been more interest in going on. Because as I've sat here before, I wish that was the guy that we've been going. But I'll take this one. Yeah. This didn't hurt you at all. And I looked at the list, and I'm not trying to be an asshole here by saying what I'm going to say, but I was almost saying, okay, you got to take one of these guys. God bless you. You know, good luck on that one. So there wasn't a standout to be had there.
But you're right. The Debbie Downer was, and Chris, I don't know, but did you not get the feel like there was this buildup, like, man, something major's going to happen?
I did, and it was, I think all in all with the expansion draft, even outside the Blues, I mean, I think there was a lot more, like, you know, you saw some big, like some blockbusters that were going to come out of it. And there was actually a lot more excitement at the entry draft than there was at the expansion draft.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas had a couple of deals where they got a few assets or whatever.
They're going to be a good hockey team. They're going to be there.
Actually content.
Well, and you know, a couple teams gave them some stuff to stay away from the guys and do this. So they're okay. They got a lot of picks coming up. I know that based on some stuff they did. So the expansion draft happens, and then the team is like, okay, we know who's gone, so we know where we sit salary wise. The first thing Doug Armstrong does is he addresses the. Well, the first thing they did was let's go in chronological order. The first thing they did was they took their pick in the first round. Again, you know, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but Robert Thomas is who they take. Yeah. Chris, my guess is you probably know more about Robert Thomas than either one of us. I know that if you read a lot of the stuff, and that's really all you can go by, right, are these scouts, that he's a high-end playmaker.
Yeah.
He can carry the puck in high traffic areas. I mean, in hindsight, who doesn't want a guy that can do that? So you hope that he can do that and develop into a big time player that way.
Right-handed shot, you know, he was a little, like, if you saw him on the stage, he was a little, you know, heavier than some of the other guys who had gone before him. You know, a lot of these guys strutting across the stage are 6 foot, 150 pounds. You know, that need a lot of, you know, even the higher end guys, you know, that need a lot of work off the ice to, you know, to beef up. You know, I think he came in at, you know, 5'11", 190 or something. So, you know, I like that part of him. And that London organization just is amazing. You know, they hammer out some real talent. So I like that he played there. And I think he fell to where he fell almost because he wasn't really in a highlighted role in London. You know, he was almost on a secondary role.
They say he projects to be a good two-way player.
Let me lay out to you guys here something here while we get going down this road. Because in the draft – I could sit here with a guy that come off the street and he'd know more about the draft than I'm going to know. If he just looked on the damn media guide and they'd say, well, this guy, because now you're listening to reporters and they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And so here, as I sit here, a draft is realistically what happens is you're picking a guy that the scouts, the head coaches don't even know these guys. The GMs are being told about these guys. If he's that good, he might go watch him. But you got a scouting program. And it's the same way in football I watch it. The big guys, the coaches, and they don't know what the hell they're getting drafted because you got guys that do that job. So our scouting system, the Blues scouting system, come out, and then they've come up with this guy. Realistically, what happens when you get a first-rounder as opposed to the sixth-rounder, seventh-rounder, he's got all the hype behind him. He's going to get a chance to play in the National Hockey League at some point in time more than the fourth, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth-rounder. They got to go make their hay down in the minors. They got a harder road to the NHL than this first-rounder is going to have because now I've taken a first-rounder. So, but you don't know what you're going to get. And it's going to go on to this next guy that you're going to go down the road and talk. But these first-rounders, except for the top five guys maybe that go in this draft?
Or, and depending on the draft. Yeah. I mean, who's in it? I mean, yeah, that's exactly. Pretty – I mean, you could just look back at the past drafts, the guys that went. I mean, look at the Blues when they have the number one pick.
Yeah.
The guys that were the number one picks the year before and the year after. Sometimes it's the draft class. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into it as well. You know, what I've noticed more, and to your point, Darren, from the fans' perspective, is it seems like the guys traditionally that go – traditionally now that go overall, they kind of have an overall skill set and talent that's just better than the other players. Now, what you will see sometimes is those other players that get drafted a little later, they develop something and they develop it to where they do it really well. Maybe they don't have the whole overall game, but they do something and they do it well, and maybe they can help you, maybe not. I mean, but it's all still a crapshoot.
Like the first guy the Blues take, the guy they take 31st is got a better chance of making the National Hockey League team than the guy.
According to
that's what I'm saying. So I'm going by that. But so you don't.
Well, the NHL draft's like every other draft. There's other things that are considered in this. There's signability. There's where the guy is. Like, you know, I know Chris is going to talk a little bit about the guy.
I disagree with you on the first round. I don't agree with you on that part. On the first round, you're looking. It's not assignability or shit like that. On the first round, you're going for pure talent. You should be going for pure talent because every kid's going to sign. If you're in the draft, your goal is to play in the
What I meant was, like, for instance, you know, remember the Tarasenko thing? Well, we don't know if he'll come over here. That's what I meant.
Yeah, but you go.
Valeri Nichushkin.
Yeah.
But you're going, you know, this first round in that, and here's how low this, where the Blues are going to go here. Like I said, the 31st guy has got a better chance of making it than the guy right now.
Yeah, on paper.
And realistically, coming out of the draft, you know, when a team drafts in the first round, their first pick overall, people are sitting there thinking, "Go, oh, this could be the guy that's going to play next year." That ain't even a chance here.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Now, maybe the Russian in the 31st spot, you might. I don't know what the hell this guy's all about, but we'll soon find out.
We'll talk about it. But after they make the first pick, though, something that had been discussed at length and basically had beaten on the dead horse was the play, you know, after the first year, really, of Jori Lehterä. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Blues fans wanted change. They wanted something. And, boy, you know, you sit here and you say to yourself, you know, yeah, he needs to go. Yeah, the salary needs to go. But what realistically can we get for him? And then you hear things like, well, why didn't we move him at the deadline? Why didn't we do this? So you come to find out that he gets moved on draft day, and you realize it's easier to move him on draft day because then you can include a pick, and if the other team likes where the pick is, then it makes it more attractive. So in really what has become a bold move, and by all accounts, and I wonder about this, and I'll ask, you know, like I said, Darren, I'll take your thoughts from the you've been there perspective to Chris's fan perspective, and then I'd love to hear Jamie's because I'm sure he's got a lot more background. But, you know, are we just happy that Laterra's gone, or was Laterra for Shen such a great deal that we didn't care about the picks we gave up? And really, at the end of the day, you know, what was best for the Blues? Was this simply a, we're just glad he's gone, and, I mean, you could have gave us the devil himself, and we'd have been happy to have him on our team.
I don't know. You know, obviously, he struggles, you know, the first year, and then last year, he's struggling, and people are beating the shit out of him, and the media is all over him, and you know what? Probably rightfully so. I'm not against that. The guy didn't put up the numbers he was putting up before. So far, you've drafted the one kid in the first round that you, I don't know. He didn't, you know, 1 or 2 years, 3 years, he might play. Now you've done this. I think they hit it out of the park with this one. I really do. I think this kid comes in, he brings some size to him. He scored 20 some goals for the Flyers up there. He's going to fill a spot. Hopefully up. I'm assuming they want to put him up the middle. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know, but
right. He's
got some potential. He's got some grit to the game that they're going to really need right now. So we'll see where he places. But I like what they did here. I think so far. You know, I don't know what the first guy is going to be, but I think right here they sort of I like what they did. I really do.
Well, the money on the average, on the cap hit, I guess, is basically almost a wash. I did have a question, and hopefully, like I said, we can get Jamie, that I'm sure he's a little more familiar. If either of you guys know the answer to this, please chime in. But, you know, Shen's contract was an interesting one. He had a huge signing bonus. Mm-hmm. So he shows as a salary of only $2.5 million with a $2.5 million on the signing bonus. Now, I've always been curious about this. Are the Blues responsible for that $2.5 million signing bonus? Is the cap hit 5.25, or is their cap hit only $2.5 million? I don't know. That's a great question for Jamie that I would love to know.
Because
that's a big deal.
It is.
If it's not.
You know, I don't know the answer to this, but I would seem, if you're got a signing bonus, You know how the NFL, you hear about it all the time. They put the signing bonus out and they get hit with it there, but or it could be dragged out over, you could stretch it out over 5 years. So, yeah, Jamie would know that answer before.
Yeah, but, you know, but even if, yeah. I mean, again, it would be an absolute just in our favor.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
if,
for sure.
If it worked that way.
For
but sure. Even if not, it's basically a wash, and we get an extra year out of Mr. Shen. And again,
if you look at Sport Track, it shows the whole salary on there.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I did.
Five.
But you see how it says one. And that's why I wonder how that approaches.
Yeah.
I wonder how that affects the salary cap, because you know how they always have those goofy rules.
Yeah.
And like I said, Jamie probably would be the best person to ask, but you know, and Chris, I'm sure you've done your homework on him. Shen on paper, again, here we go, appears to be a guy that can really help the power play. That seems to be where he plays his mm-hmm. best. You know, something that Blues fans really got on Yoel Laterra about was his 5-on-5 play. If you read the report, Shen's 5-on-5 play isn't much better, but he really carries it on the power play for you, which at times last year, you know, we needed a guy that could help there.
Well, yeah, I think we, you know, for sure, especially with the departure of Shattenkirk, with his, you know, his strength really being there, you know, and being able to be sort of that quarterback of the power play and being able to score and set up. I like the Shen move also, only because I think that his 5-on-5 stats have been, you know, actually very similar to your. Here, however, I think that moving out of the Flyer system into our system here and the way that he will play and the role that he will play, I think that you'll see more of an upside with that as he develops here. And I think that he really has, I mean, he's a young guy and he's willing to get in front of the net, which
sure.
is something that I think that we lost a lot of in the last, you know, handful of years with Backes and
Darren, I think, alluded to that at the beginning, that he'll play with a little more grit. Darren, I wanted to ask you this. When I was doing my what homework I did do on this, I was telling Chris, the next move that we're going to talk about, I told Chris that one of the things I like to do is when a move is made, it's real easy to go to the local stuff and all you're going to get is all this great stuff. I like to go look at some of the stuff from the other cities,
mm-hmm.
and I'll touch on the next move in a minute. But on this particular move, one of the things when I was looking up information on Mr. Shen was an article written in SB Nation about the deal from the Philadelphia perspective. And it was interesting how they really, like, I'm sitting, like, you and I and every Blues fan in St. Louis are going, I cannot believe they gave us Braden Shen for Yoel Laterra. There's a lot of Philadelphia people going, yeah, they're basically the same player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a no, and we got the pick, so we won the deal. So, I mean, it's just, isn't it interesting how from.
Well, it is. And I think from their perspective also, especially, you know, who's the guy that they picked up? Oh, my God. I'm drawing a blank here. Their first round selection this year. The guy who was.
Hey, I have a hard.
He was supposed to be number one overall.
Anyway,
he's a center. They have some other centers, so there was going to be a lot. You know, they were slammed as opposed to the Blues. They were slammed in that position. So I think to move him on for someone who is about the same and even strength as you know, a Laterra ish.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they see it as, you know, we got the picks, we got, you know.
Yeah. I just.
You gotta, the only thing, guys, and understand this. So he plays in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and I don't give a shit what he did in Philadelphia. I really don't.
Yeah.
You got a new. And Laterra is going to be in the same situation.
Yeah.
You're going to swap. We're going to go to a new atmosphere. There's a new beginning for you. If he's so bad defensively, I'll promise you that he is not playing center for the Blues. I'll promise you they'll hide him on the wing if that's his role.
Sure.
But. Now that you've made the deal, I hear that Yo was very happy with the deal. If he's very happy with the deal, that's his job now to find where he's going to put him. So we don't even need to speculate on that because Yo's going somewhere with him.
Well, that's it. So
Berglund out half the season now.
Also. Well, thank God.
Now, see, I was saving that.
Sorry.
You got to understand who's sitting next to me here. That was going to be the cherry on top.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's move on in chronological order. This is where I can – boy, Chris's juices are getting going over here already.
Yeah.
I can see him. So in a very – what I would call – this is interesting. Now, this is the one I can't wait to hear your thoughts. And in a surprise move, the Blues then make an interesting trade that I feel like, and I'll give you my personal opinion, but it almost felt like it's something they almost, like we can't pass this up, even though maybe we don't want to do it. They trade Ryan Reeves to Pittsburgh for their first-round pick. and a young like prospect center type player, right? And we take a guy that was still on the board that was the number one rated player in Europe, in Mr. Kostin. Now, did I pronounce it? Klim Kostin?
Klim Kostin, yeah.
Klim Kostin. Now, I mean, this thing, you talk about a range of emotion on this deal, yeah, from one thing to the other. Number one, let's just get this out of the way. Reeves was a fan favorite, number one. Hands down fan favorite. They, you know, and again, the guy to my right can attest, they love you, you know, yeah, no matter what you do. When you play the role, we've talked about it, Kimby, the role you played here, you spent many a night at Humphreys and all these places, these fans love you. Mm-hmm. They still come up to you to this day. They love what you did, right? Here's a guy that, while the fighting has changed in the league, he still could handle that role, and when he did, he handled it very well. And they trade him for essentially a guy that, again, it's got people here going, holy cow, how did we get this guy? This guy's the best player in a draft, and he may be a Tarasenko and da-da-da-da-da. But man, and I understand, and the I guess the overwhelming thought on this is you hated to lose Reeves, but the guy was a fourth liner that played 8 minutes a game, and we just got arguably the best player in the draft.
Chrome, let's look this thing, the whole thing here. So you get on this Twitter, and I'm on there, and I get ranting with some idiots out there sometimes. And so I'm on Twitter, and I got people, you know, are so excited that we give up Reeves for a first round. Back when I played the game, if you give up a tough guy for a first rounder, then that would have been a genius move. A genius move. You have taken, even though fighting is where it's at, and like we've all admitted, and I hate to say it, but it's gone. You know, there's not much fighting as there used to be, obviously. It's way, way down. But Ryan Reeves brought something to the table that this game nowadays, he gets to play like 10 minutes. Back in the day, we didn't get to play that. You know, mm-hmm, it was a three-line system. The fourth line went out there and did their job. He's out there playing. The Blues are really, you know, they're almost like a wet paper bag team now to play against. You know, you're not going to get hit. You're not, none of that's going on. And he was the only force you had to go hit. So you've taken him away, and all these people rant, oh, God, we got, you don't know what the hell you just give away, people. If someone wants, like, look what Nashville did. They ran to the Stanley Cup Finals with a bunch of mucker and grinder type guys, big guys that were knocking the shit out of them, and they wore them down. They wore the Blues down. You've just taken the biggest guy probably in the NHL, and not even talking fighting sense. This guy, you know, Reeves would go out there and he'd lay people out, and that's why the Blues fans loved him. And the fourth line in the National Hockey League is not there.
And the other players, too.
Yeah. And they're not there to score goals. They're not there. They're there to fill in on penalty kills. They're there to fill in if someone gets hurt up there. But they're there to go out and make a difference in a shift to turn the game in their favor still. It's that line still hasn't changed. You still go out, and Reeves would go out, and he'd knock the shit out of some guys. Upshaw was on the other side. He's knocking guys down. That's what you do. You go out and you generate life in the building, and now you've taken that away. And I don't care if they go out and get Tom Moe from Russia again, if you want to go down that damn path, that he's supposed to be a big fighter. This guy, Reeves, could skate. He could hit. The fighting's gone out of the game. He played his role, and you've given him away. And I don't give a shit if you got a first-rounder. Who knows what that guy's going to do when he gets to the National Hockey League? You don't even know if he can play in the National Hockey League. I don't. He played 8 games last year. He had a shoulder surgery. What the hell does he know? I know Ryan Reeves can play in the game right now, and he's a big damn part of the Blues going forward, but obviously they chose to go down a different avenue.
Well, and that's the thing. Ryan Reeves wasn't your average fourth liner. No. That was the thing. Number one, again, the fighting is gone, but if it reared its ugly head, you had one of the toughest guys in the league.
The toughest guy. He's the toughest guy in the league.
Okay. Right? I would say in his role in the NHL,
he's the best.
No question. He's the best.
Yeah. He can fight. He can hit. He can do it. Now,
and skate. Like Darren said, he's really like he's a good skater.
So you can't. So the question is, and Darren, I know what your answer is because you said already, they can't. Like I think, like we talked about Bernie Miklas and his thoughts on it. Like he's replaceable, but he's not. Who's going to replace him?
You know, and that's why I said that the Blues are a wet paper bag right now. Because what's gonna who on the Blues? You know, Upshaw's not signed back, and they might not even sign his ass back. I don't know what they're doing. Brodziak's sitting there, but he's really not a force to go reckon with. You know, he's going to go out and do his job. He's going to penalty
kill. Fourth line center,
but he's a penalty killer. Yeah. But you need someone to generate some hitting. Someone's got to be hitting, or the game. It's just. The St. Louis fans are going to get sick of that shit. Do you think they're going to sit there and watch guys go around the edges and not get involved in this ball game? Me knowing what the St. Louis Blues fans, you knowing what a St. Louis Blues fan is, they like to get in there, and they like their people to roll their sleeves up and go to work the Brian Sutter style. That was thrown in their face for many years now, is it not?
Yeah, and here's the deal, too. We talk about the fighting. So the prevailing Now, the Blues fans that have an issue with this trade, and I know, Chris, you were following it too, it's the whole, well, who's going to protect Tarasenko? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a slippery slope because, I mean, there were times last year we saw things happen and there was no bell answered. So yeah.
But I think, and the Blues, I'll tell you what, this is it's a frustrating thing. And people, because of the role I played, so people think I'm being biased to that side. I'm not. I would walk into Blues guys that are involved in the organization, and I would sit down and have conversations with them. I said, why is this guy not fighting? Why is he not doing this? And they were down on that for a bit, but like the game has changed. But you still need someone to run someone's ass over once in a while. And you think, you know, with Nashville, for example, right now they're at the top of the charts. They've proven that. They went to the finals. Look at the makeup of their team. And they're going to go out and they're going to try to pull in. They lost their one guy, Neil, to go to Vegas. They'll replace that. But they got these greedy guys. How does Pittsburgh Penguins, everyone sits there and goes, well, they're all, no, they're not. Look at their third and fourth line. They're a bunch of gritty sons of bitches that run around and knock the crap out of you, and Crosby and them score the big goals for them. But these other guys were putting goals in, but they were gritty guys that would run into anything. The Blues are not made up like that.
Well, and interestingly enough, I thought when you showed up today and we were kind of just going back and forth, you said something that made the most sense to me, that while, again, I'm not here to Debbie down the draft or Debbie down the moves we made. I think in the end we're better today. There's no doubt about that. I think we're better. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. But my thought is, you said this, and it hit me just like, wow, you're right. The team that just won the Stanley Cup back-to-back years just traded for the guy for a reason.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what we were discussing earlier. It's like, if the, you know, these guys have a formula for winning. I mean, you know, if you look at the last, you know, 18 months or 24 months, there's no one who's shown they're any better at it, and they wanted him for a reason. I've waffled on this deal so much because, like, you know, as a fan, as a former hockey player, and just as a human, I love Ryan Reeves. I love what he was for the organization. The fans loved him. All the players universally loved him. He was awesome on the ice and off the ice. And then it's like the other side of it. It's like, you know, you get, you know, and there's a lot of ifs involved. But if you get 4 years down the road and this guy they got at the end of the first round, you know, if he pans out to be a, you know, a Wheeler or a Kreider, you know, a big, strong guy, you know, who can, you know, has, you know, what's been reported is some good hockey sense and some strong skating, you know, are we sitting here 3 years from now saying Armstrong, you know, was smart for making this move? Was he not? I don't know. I've gone all the way one way with the Reeves trade, all the way the other way. In the end, I think it's hard as a fan base to see him go, because everybody loved him so much.
Here's the thing, so you look at the Blues roster, and you know how many guys are under one way. The roster's full. Mm-hmm. The Blues are strapped right at the what's the word I'm looking for. About spending money out,
the cap.
Yeah. So they get to the Blues don't really push that too. You know, they're a small org in a small community, mm-hmm, here. They're not throwing money out the window. They're not going to go break that cap area. They can't do that. And you go look, and what's their prime source right now? When we're going into this, and Jamie and us, we all talked about this, we're looking for a number one centerman. So you haven't even gone to that. You haven't even got Perry Eco signed yet. So you haven't even done that yet. So we're going through this process. Who is going to fill in this fourth line? And I you know, you say Yaskin's going to do it, or they say the guy they got from Pittsburgh, that he's going to do it, and come on, guys. You're not even being realistically right now. The game hasn't changed. It hasn't gone. I'll give you 90% of it's gone away from the physical part. But God bless me, if you don't got nothing like that, and you're going to run around and play Mickey Mouse hockey, get out of here.
Well, you know, again, I look at it and I say, okay, so what did we accomplish? And again, maybe because we're so happy Laterra's gone and Braden Schenn's, it seems to be a good player, that we just feel like we're automatically better. Now, some of the stuff is the stuff that comes from within. But, again, you've got to replace that. And I don't know how you do that. If it's an internal, that's fine, I guess.
He's not – like, this. Don't get me wrong. This guy's in Brett Hall. Like, Ryan Reeves isn't Brett Hall.
No.
You know, Brett Hall is the – you know, that's a different animal. I'm not saying that. But – in order to compete, the National Hockey League, and when I say 90% of it's gone away, yeah, but they're still a part of it, and the Nashville Predators just showed that to you in the playoff run. They knocked the shit out of the Blues.
Well, and that's where it's really important, you know, right?
Yeah.
But Blues fans will argue with you, they didn't push us. And I'm like, well, did you watch the same game I watched? Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know what it is? It's the stat people. Because I'm sure if you go and look, the stats say that we out-hit them a couple games, and I'm like, listen, if I run into you, that's a hit. Did you see the way they were laying us out?
What did your big guns though do? The Blues didn't score a lot of goals.
Why? Because they were getting run all over the board.
One reason these guys would go out there and at least confront these sons, so they were doing their job. So you had a guy. What if Reeves and them guys weren't there? What kind of nut show would have that turned into? Because they were doing whatever they wanted with Reeves there. At least that you had a response to him a little bit. Now that you've taken that out of there, who's going to respond to that when Nashville hits playoff time again next year and they come barreling down? Is this guy out of Russia that's number one? But is he going to – not a chance in hell. You know, who do you got to respond to that? Can they go out and find somebody? You might be able to go – but you're not going to get a guy that can skate and hit like Ryan. And I'm not even talking fighting, guys. And that you know, that's what my job – but I'm not even talking fighting. There's got to be a presence that you're going to go out playoff time. The other team's sitting in the dressing room and they're going to go – oh, Christ, what do we got here? They're no one going to hit me tonight, so what the hell do I got to worry about?
I think the only option that the Blues have right now, if you look organizationally, is someone like an Edmondson who can, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that's the best option. I'm saying that's...
Oh, he is your best option.
That's really the option.
Him and Bortuzzo are your best two options.
Who's not skating a lot, so... This year,
they can barely make the goddamn lineup.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's the hard part about about Edmondson. You know, I think has more there. I don't know anyone who's under the assumption that the Russian guy is going to play next year or even the year after that. I think is living in a dream. I think he's got a lot of developing left to do. I think you may see him, you know, like not this upcoming year, but the year after that. But I think it would be in a very limited role.
You got to understand too that comment you're just making, like they're going to make 2 years. That's all fine and dandy, and I'm all about building a future. I got nothing wrong with the future. If I lived in Chicago, I got nothing wrong with the future because I got three Stanley Cup rings in the last.
Exactly.
What do you deal with now that you're going to come back with this lineup? And what do you think the airwaves are going to be hitting here? Oh my God!
Yeah, it's not.
You're in a town that's never won it. You're still trying to chase it. And then they're going to say, I'm going to build for the future. Nah, bullshit. They ain't going to buy that nonsense.
I mean, are we going to – I mean, Darren, I think I know the answer to this question for you. Are we going to be sitting here when we get back to, you know, the two shows a week and it's going to be November and the season's a month old and we're going, man, we need a gritty fourth liner that can go out and hit? And
I was going to post on the thing there when this happened because I followed on Twitter and the Chasers on there a little bit, and I was going to say, how long is it going to take you, Chaser? Is it going to be the first game, the first shift, when you say, where's Ryan Reeves at?
Yeah.
You know, we've lost him. We have no answer to this guy. Because you will run into periods where you're going to go play a team, and there's going to be some guy in the other team, and he don't have to be that tough anymore, but he's going to cause a lot of shit, and you're going to go, well, why didn't we respond to that? And I'm going to go, well, because he's in Pittsburgh protecting the best player in the game right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Back to the player that made this deal, I think, made the Blues feel like they needed to make this deal, however you want to go about it. Mr. Costin's an interesting player. Again, all we have to go on are scouts. Now, he was rated the number one player out of Europe, right, Chris? I think I have that right here.
Yeah, the number one skater in the draft.
Now, the thing is, there's some varying stories as to how he dropped and why he dropped. One of them, I believe you mentioned, did he not, that he had a shoulder surgery?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But the highlight tapes that start flying around the internet are just nothing short of I mean, this guy's talented. Mm-hmm. He's majorly talented.
Yeah, I don't think there's any argument.
He's big.
Yeah. I could show you a couple highlights of what I did in the NHL and with a puck and scored a couple goals. And mm-hmm. Was that put me in the first round?
I know.
No,
I
well, let's stop that shit, please.
Well, but hang on here.
Grace, this guy, played – how many highlights can he have, Chrome? He played 8 games last year, didn't he?
Well, that's where I'm going. I think it's the highlights weren't and here's the deal. And again, I'm not here to Debbie down this guy, but the highlights weren't from those games because those were from junior type games.
Yeah, they were all from the U18s. Yeah.
Yes, because when he got called in, you know, listen, they saw what this guy was doing, right?
Yeah.
So they said, hey, it's time. So they call him up to Dynamo Moscow, yeah. Right? And he does nothing.
Yeah.
So then they send him down to Tier 2, and he gets 1 point in 8 games. And then all of a sudden we're done. But here's the deal. But he's a young man. You know, so it is what it is. I just for me to think that
and like the way I look at situations like this, because obviously I have nowhere near the access, the information that the, you know, these scouts have. They the amateur scouting departments for each NHL team, and then, you know, for the even the AHL organizations have access to, you know, to video and to, you know, to be able to interview people who these guys have worked with that I don't. And you know, I see it as there has to be something there that someone's seen for NHL Central Scouting to rank him the number one European skater. I don't know what that is because I'm not over there and I'm not able to sit and watch his games and, you know, to watch him, you know, his workouts and his off-ice stuff. But, I mean, I think it's to have that limited of information on a guy and the NHL Central Scouting Department still rank him the number one European skater, there has to be, you know, whether it's skill or whatever, or it's something has to be there, right?
Well, I'll finish our part of this discussion because I am happy to say that Mr. Rivers is going to join us here in about 10 seconds. I caution everybody to remember one thing. Neil Yakupov was the number one pick.
Yeah, no, that's accurate. Absolutely.
Okay.
And there are 100 other Neil Yakupovs out there.
The question, when you said and all the stats and everything, God bless, but why did he drop to 31 if he's the fastest guy going in the world and he's big and he's got all that? Why?
There's lots of guys that have surgery.
Yeah,
I mean, surgery's like blowing your nose anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be, you know, like the preponderance of the evidence. The surgery, his lack of an impact in those 8 games that, you know, that he was, you know, was brought up, and then, you know, the sort of skepticism about him being able to, you know, be convinced to come over here and play.
Well, and again, I will say this. Hey, maybe that's great for us. Maybe a couple perfect storm type things happen that weren't great for this kid. In the end, maybe we'll look back at this and think, thank God that happened. I mean, hey, listen, Tarasenko, the only reason we get Tarasenko where we got him was because people didn't think he was coming over here.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of weird stuff with the draft sometimes that either hurts you or kills you.
Yep.
And as I discussed earlier, I wasn't 100% sure this was going to happen, but I know a lot of you guys were hoping that it would, even with his busy schedule. Mr. Rivers is on the line and able to join us and fill us all full of useless knowledge. What's going on, Jamie?
Oh, not much, guys. How you doing?
I mean, it sounds like you're just tired.
Yeah, I'm a little raspy voice today. So every now and then these kids need a little giddy up on the ice, and we got to make sure we're waking them up out there.
About 5 Red Bulls, everybody's good, right?
Maybe we might be looking more like 10 or 12. Good today.
Well, you know, we're into this thing here. We've kind of went through what we feel like was the change, the changes that happened that are going to affect the Blues probably on the recent. I mean, we're not going to get into all the late picks and all that kind of stuff. We've really went through the chronological order of events, and we'll let you touch on them. Number one, obviously, we kind of felt like the expansion draft, we felt like a lot was going to happen there, and it kind of thudded for us. I mean, yeah, we lost David Perron, so we'll get your thoughts on that first.
Yeah, you know, David's a good player for the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, his first time around, we've discussed this many times, young talent, I mean, just oozing skill out there. And he kind of needed to go away to figure out the game before he came back. And then when we got him back this time, he seemed like a much more well-rounded hockey player. And he did a great job, scored, you know, a good amount of goals for us, scored some points for us last season. Now, I know he didn't get the point production that probably everybody, including himself, wanted in the playoffs, but I still feel like he was effective out there. I feel like he was mature enough at this point to identify what he could do for the team, and he went out and tried to do it to the best of his ability. So not having David Perron in a blue note with, you know, a cap-friendly contract, that stings a little bit. So it's tough to lose a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, and then we didn't touch on this a whole lot, but I'll let you go ahead and address it since it's kind of recent news. And the guy that I think Mr. Kimball was hoping we would lose through the draft, Mr. Berglund, we find out now is hurt. And I wonder how long they've known this and if any of the draft day moves has. But your thoughts on Mr. Berglund and the process ahead for him.
Yeah, usually guys get hurt like that right before a trade deadline so they can't get traded. But you know, this is a weird kind of thing. I do know that a lot of the training that they do these days, it is different. It's not like it used to be. It's not like the Charles Atlas, you know, dumbbell workout that everybody remembers in the back of the comic book. So him being injured in a workout situation is not that uncommon. Is it good for us? No, it stinks for us, obviously, because now we've held on to him. And he was going to be a big part of our, you know, our team next year. And, you know, I still think he has value to him. And Kimby and I have gone round and round and round over that. But, you know, right now he doesn't hold much value sitting at home on the couch with his arm in a sling. And that's difficult. And I think the Blues would have liked to have him jump out to a good start and make sure that he could score some goals and get some points on the board and then be an option for them either, you know, moving forward in their lineup or even, you know, a carrot to dangle out there for some other team to grab onto. So, yeah, it kind of stinks. It sets everybody back big time with this injury to him.
You know, you mentioned the different training methods and the way things have changed. I, you know, you and Mr. Kimble probably at one time or another may have had a 12-ounce curl injury. Didn't either one of you, like, hoisting a beer up? Didn't you guys hurt that bicep or maybe a little shoulder injury?
What happened after I drank those beers is what happened. Yeah, that there, but no.
Yeah. I always prefer the 12-ounce curl in one arm and the Crown and Coke in the other arm to make sure that neither of them didn't get a workout, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well,
that was back in the day.
Yeah, no, that's all good stuff. So, just hitting the draft and assuming, now again, I'm putting you on the spot, our assumption is that you'll be able to give us a little bit. The Blues select Robert Thomas with their first-round pick. Obviously, we can read just like anybody else. Looks like a promising two-way center that can make some plays, carry the puck in high traffic areas. Any thoughts on Mr. Thomas?
I think it's a good pick, you know. The Blues have done a good job with their scouting staff of trying to identify, you know, a need right now or a need that they'll have in the very near future. And they've picked up a good young player again. You know, like Tage Thompson is a guy that in the future is going to wear the blue note. And we got another guy now that probably a year or two from now will be fighting to wear a blue note as well. And if you're drafting guys like that can get in your lineup within that few years, then, you know, that's, you're doing a good job, because that's what the whole league is about now, is drafting and building from within. And you really want to make sure your first round pick is something that you can actually put in your lineup at some point in the near future. And I had the privilege of watching him just a little bit yesterday. And for a young guy, he looks really, really comfortable out there with the prospects. You know, he hangs onto the puck well, he's poised with it, he doesn't get frazzled in traffic. For a guy who's first time on the ice with, you know, probably that level of competition, I thought he looked really comfortable, and for me, that's a real good sign of a young player.
Well, they select him, and then, you know, we go into the bomb drop that everybody was hopeful for. No disrespect to Mr. Laterra, but I think everybody had kind of felt like it was time, and I think we all wondered what Doug Armstrong could do. You know, obviously, the Knights didn't take him. So what do we do? And we get back what appears to be a heck of a player, and I think this had to be a win for the Blues. Your thoughts on the Shen and Laterra deal?
Well, yeah, you know, I know that the Blues were certainly had his name out there in the trade market, and they were trying to motivate the Golden Knights, but everybody at that point had come back with wanting the Blues to eat a real good chunk of the salary in return. And you know, Doug Armstrong and the Blues, I believe, felt that wasn't necessarily the best idea right now. And so they held on to him. And then, however it started to marinate together, this trade, you know, I think that one for one, I don't think the trade happens, because Ron Hextall does a heck of a job in Philly, and he's very conservative when it comes to trades. But now when you throw in the picks and you go back and forth, now all of a sudden, dollar-wise, it you know, it doesn't match up exactly, but it's close enough to realistically say, okay, we can make this deal. And from my standpoint, what a deal for the Blues. I mean, I've watched Braden Shen for years, and he's a heck of a hockey player. He's going to address a huge need for the Blues. He's going to score a lot of goals. You know, 25 goals last year. He had a ton of power play goals. He's a big guy. He doesn't mind playing physical, getting involved. You know, to me, it's something that the Blues really needed, was a guy like that can play a big man's game, but's got the soft touch at the same time. So for me, that's going to be a real good opportunity for the Blues. And now, you know, losing Yuri Laterra, hey, right now it is what it is. Everybody needs to, you know, take a look back at his rookie season. He had a hell of a year. And after that, it just didn't seem to repeat itself at all in any shape or form. And so, you know, finding him a new home and doing things like that, and maybe that'll spark his career a little bit at the same time. And like I've said before, Yuri's a good guy. Nobody wishes him any ill will, but I think right now the Blues are winners on this trade.
One of the questions we had for you about the salary portion of this, if you look at their average salary, it's really close. So, but the way Shen's salary is listed is at a 2.5 salary with a 2.5 from his signing bonus. Two questions on that. Are the Blues obligated to pay the signing bonus, and how does that affect the cap?
Well, you know what? Ordinarily, the team that acquires him will have to pick up the signing bonus as well. I mean, you're picking up the guy's contract. Now, if it's a front-loaded signing bonus where it's like the old days where literally you get this check when you sign your name on the dotted line, then Philly would have been responsible for that. But I believe the way they do it now, they break it up into yearly chunks of the signing bonus. So the piece that comes back to the Blues, I believe they'll be obligated to pick that up. And then they'll have the salary on top of that. So,
got it.
The salary cap itself, I think it actually helps the Blues as far as a salary cap hit, and it might actually improve their situation by having a portion of that as a signing bonus.
Okay, because it's not like in the old days when you and Kimball signed and you got those huge checks that when you guys signed your name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I got a check like the Price is Right. It was huge, but it only was worth like $50.
I picked the wrong window.
You picked the wrong window. Yeah. Okay, so this move happens. Everybody's happy. The whole town is like, I mean, it was crazy. Like, people were ready to elect Doug Armstrong president. And then all of a sudden, a fan favorite is gone. And this move is just an odd one across the board. I don't know if a good move, bad move. I don't know. And you know, Darren, as you can imagine, he's not a big fan of it. But Ryan Reeves, a fan favorite and a guy that filled a big role. I mean, again, a fourth liner, yes, but a different kind of role that he plays. And we're not just talking about the fighting role here. This is an interesting move because the Blues got what essentially is, you know, a guy that slipped in the draft that is supposedly, according to scouts, a tremendous talent. But they also trade away grit, heart, soul, a guy that played an unbelievable role in the team. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, my thoughts, before we even get into some of the logistics of it, if the Pittsburgh Penguins general manager, Jimmy Rutherford, feels like it's a huge need to add a guy like Ryan Reeves to his lineup, to go out specifically and target him and trade for him after winning back-to-back Stanley Cups, I would imagine that there's probably a need for Ryan Reeves. You know, like, if I'm sitting back and somebody who just won Stanley Cups back-to-back calls and says, hey, what about moving Reeves? I would sit back and go, wait a minute, why does he want Reeves? And then you have to evaluate within, you know, internally and go, obviously they deem him to be the most effective role player in the league. I won't use enforcer because, you know, society doesn't like that word, I guess, anymore. But we'll call him a role player. And he is effective. And he proved last year that he can play bigger minutes. He can be a bigger part of the program. And so, you know, right away that would have put me on my heels. But then you have to look at the meat and potatoes of the deal is you are acquiring a young man that I watched yesterday, has a tremendous amount of talent and potential. And those things are great, but those words scare me too. And I've said it like three or four different times now since this trade's happened is potential scares me. Prospect scares me. The two P words that are, you know, very difficult sometimes to wrap your brain around because they're unproven. And that's the thing, is this kid's unproven. We don't know what he's going to bring to the table. We don't know if he's ever going to play a full season in the NHL. And, you know, Darren and I know a huge amount of players that were first rounders that never played over 50 games in the NHL, that never played over 100 games in the NHL. And, you know, to me, that if this guy's got a problem already, an injury problem, and it's not like the doctors can't fix him, but, you know, you're looking at something here that's you're making a gamble. And with Ryan Reeves, you're not making a gamble. You know what he brings to the table. You know what he does night in and night out. You know the improvement he's shown throughout the last couple of years and, you know, what he's been able to bring to the table and how many minutes he's been able to play, especially even in the playoffs where this guy's a big part of your lineup. You know, we don't know that about the potentially good players coming back. So I guess time will tell. I hate losing a proven guy who can keep the locker room together, be a good guy, be a fan favorite, and keep your number one guy safe. You know, Sidney Crosby sleeps a lot better at night right now. I don't know if Vladimir Tarasenko sleeps better at night. In fact, I know Vladdy's down in, like, Punta Cana right now. Maybe he's so afraid he left town.
Well, I think the question is, and I asked Darren, and I like, you know, his answer, I think, is the one I agree with. So the answer is, who replaces him? And like Darren says, nobody. I mean, who are you going to replace him with?
Well, there's nobody in the current lineup, let's be honest. Like, I like some of the guys who play gritty and whatnot, but there's nobody that steps on that ice that would even make me lose a minute sleep, you know? Like, and I'm not being disrespectful. It doesn't mean they're not tough. It just means that that's me. Imagine a guy like Darren. Like, you step on the ice and then you look over and be like, yeah, that's funny. You know, I'm going to go do whatever the hell I want to Tarasenko right now, because what are you going to do? Really? I know you don't really want to do anything, first of all. Second of all, you're really not going to do anything even if you want to. So that's difficult, because the stigma of that guy being around, man, I'm telling you what, like, I played with some really tough guys over the years, and just having them on the bench, like, I'm not lying, like, Tony Twist could have went out and sat on the bench with running shoes on and not even had skates, but stand up once a period and tell somebody something or just stare at them, and it's amazing the game changed quickly. And I know that those days are gone, but Ryan Reeves right now, as far as eras go, Ryan Reeves right now is close to that Tony Twist feeling to some of these guys around the league right now that don't want to mess with this guy because he's so big, so strong, so tough, or he'll just bury you with your head down. So, yeah, you know, what next for the Blues? I mean, there's not a lot out there. I've talked to a couple people, and for me, the one guy who could maybe come in for a one-year period and not hurt your team, and he's tough as freaking nails, and Kimby and I talked about this on the phone the other day, was, you know, Chris Neal. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have the speed. He's older. I get it. All the things, all the knocks against him. But last year when the Rangers were kicking the crap out of the Senators physically, when Tanner Glass was running around and making life miserable and had the Rangers back in the series, all of a sudden Guy Boucher dresses Chris Neal, and he plays minimal. I think two and a half minutes in two games. And he goes out and grabs Tanner Glass and literally tries to rip his head off his shoulders. And it was amazing after that. Tanner Glass's skates were equipped with brakes as soon as that happened. You know, like, he started to pump the brakes instead of running through guys because he didn't know when the great pumpkin there, Chris Neal, was going to climb over the boards and come take a look at him. So,
you see, yeah,
I think it's a guy who's serviceable that way.
Hey, Rivs, just so you basically what you've been saying here in the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you know, if you listen back to what we said, I'd go in a different format, but me and you are on the same ball link with all this stuff that you're talking about. My question going forward is, because I said the same thing, Rivs, that a first rounder, basically all a first rounder is, and I'm excluding the top five picks in the draft usually, it'll get you to the NHL quicker. You don't have to go through the bus rides, and you know you might have to do a shorter period of time. It's going to get you into the NHL lineup quicker. That's about it. My concern is, with the Reeves trade, I believe the Blues right now, as I look at them, are basically like a wet paper bag. There's nothing that's gonna, and I'm not trying to be an asshole by saying that, but Nashville could come in here. They ran us out of the playoffs. And they went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the lineup they had. What would they with? And that's with Reeves in the lineup, and you know, him and Upshaw were the only two that could combat that. They have nothing in their lineup that can combat that right now, and that's sort of the thing that scares me going forward. And I know you say Neil is that, but you know that's a part. But God, I think you're missing like two or three guys that got to come to this ball game and help out, don't you?
Well, yeah, obviously it would be unbelievable to have, you know, toughness by committee.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the one thing you have to have is, and can be the order of it, as you know, goes if you bring in, you know, the top guy who sits on top of the mountain. So let's say you bring in a Chris Neal. Well, now you can bring in a couple of guys who maybe aren't really that tough. They're kind of pretend tough, but boy, are they tough when they have Chris Neal in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, and the NHL is full of those guys right now that it's amazing. They grow balls the size of church bells when they have somebody that's got their back out there. And so, you know, there might even be guys right now in our Blues lineup that could become much tougher players just because they have somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you remove that one, the kingpin, we'll call him, when you remove that, all of a sudden your bravery is not quite as much as it was before, and you're sitting there going, if I run around like a fool or try to play tough or finish my hits, I might be getting a tap on the shoulder or getting my bell rung here with nobody to have my back. So, you know, I think that the one guy, having the one guy in your lineup has always created more team toughness around that guy.
Yeah.
And it's just the chain reaction of having someone who at the end of the day can step on the ice and go against the toughest guys in the league or the toughest guy in the league at that point. And so, you know, for me, I think going out and acquiring that guy is a big deal. I don't know if they're ready to do it. I don't know if they want to do it. But I suggest that they find somebody out there that can take care of things, or, you know, quite honestly, like you said, with Nashville and some of these other teams that are going to get tougher, that are going to address the need, or that are currently tougher, it's going to be tough to compete against those guys come down the stretch.
Hey, I want to get Chris involved in this from the fan perspective, and I'm not putting Chris on the spot, but Chris, you were excited about acquiring Costin. Now by no means were you happy about losing Reeves.
Yeah.
You were saying, like, you had kind of said some things like, I didn't really want to lose Reeves, but I understand why they did it, because they acquired this highly skilled prospect. Now, in hindsight, maybe a week later, do you look at this now and go, who's going to replace Reeves as a fan?
Yeah, and I looked at that. I mean, you know, I felt that way then. I think that as a fan, that you can be equally as excited about the potential of a guy who could have, you know, a lot of upside and a lot of skill and could be someone, you know, and there's, you know, like with every first round draft pick, like these guys were saying, out of the top few, it's always a gamble. Like with all of them, the likelihood that they're going to play and play consistently isn't good. But if you read, you know, it's enough to get excited about to read some of the higher end scouting reports about them, and at the same time be equally as disappointed and upset with you know, the guy that we had to unload to get him. I don't think there's a single fan in St. Louis Blues fandom that's not upset about not having Ryan Reeves on the ice every game, because outside of his play and what he does for the guys on the ice, he brings so much energy to everyone who watches the game, and they loved him. So I think it's fair from a fan's perspective to be equally as excited about the potential of this young player and be equal, you know, upset about the loss of Ryan Reeves.
Well, when you talk about potential and fans being excited, Riz, one of the last things we want to get from you as we're up against time. You did mention earlier that you've been at you got a chance to watch the prospect camp. Again, it's one day. I mean, but if you want to share anything you saw there that made you go, huh, or anything that makes you think, if you want to share some names of some guys you saw and just some general thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I really like the Carew kid out there. He looked pretty good. Obviously, he's somebody that, you know, once again, we talk about the potential and being a prospect and all that. He's a guy that fits the mold. He had a good day yesterday. The Costin kid didn't play in any of the scrimmages because he still hasn't been 100% cleared for contact. But when they were doing drills and doing some skill stuff out there, he does have a tremendous amount of potential, and he sure looks the part. Like, this guy can shoot, he can turn, he can stick handle, and, you know, he was knocking flies out of the air basically with his shots because he was so accurate. So he had a good day as well. You know, I really enjoyed the Thomas kid. I thought he was good. And actually liked the Musil kid very much. He looked good. He looked like a kid that had been here before, which is, I believe, is the second time at the camp. So these guys here, those are the ones that jumped off the page at me yesterday.
My assumption is Oscar Sundqvist, and I hope I said that right, the young player that we got back from Pittsburgh. Is he not involved in this since he's had a little NHL time, even though it's very little?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be here. I looked at the list yesterday. And
he's a Swedish golfer, isn't he?
Well, he probably is in the offseason, Darren. He's probably wearing one of those tight Euro-cut golf outfits, too.
Yes, for son-in-law?
Yeah. He'd be wearing an outfit that you and I couldn't even put our right leg in, so no big deal.
I was really trying to bring up his nationality, that he's from where Berglund's from, so that now, I mean...
Maybe that's what Berglund's doing. Berglund's caddying for him. Maybe that's how he hurt his shoulder.
Oh, boy. Well...
See, now, what I heard is that Sundqvist was the one that was his spotter on that workout, and he wants to be in the lineup so bad he made sure Bergy slipped and fell.
Jiminy Christmas. Well, Jamie, I know you're busy, and Darren, you as well, and it's the summertime, and, you know, usually you guys are – it's funny how you're – as you guys past your hockey days, how busy you are in the summer as opposed to that used to be your time, but – I know the fans appreciate you guys taking time out of your schedule to keep the show still primed up a little bit in the off season.
You know what I liked about this, though, and I know Jamie come in later at the very end, which because I wanted him
to.
Because
you liked?
No, I did like that part, yeah. But no, but I like when he knows more about these young kids and that than I don't even know their names half the time. But on our when you look at if you go back and look at this and just listen to the first 45 minutes when we talked about and what I'm talking, I'm sort of right on ball here with Jamie. You know, we're in the same thing. You know, and. It's just amazing when you got guys that, and I'm not saying that we're above and beyond, don't get me wrong, but you just by playing the game and being in situations, you can sort of see this writing on the wall where it's going, and you know, usually guys that I know we play different roles, but you sort of got the same mindset going, you know?
Well, yeah, and then I guarantee you Jamie's happy that you don't know their name so that you don't try to say them.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Is that would that be accurate, Jamie?
That's true.
Yeah, well, actually, I told you guys the other day, but now it's actually a drinking game that people play when they listen to our podcast. Every time Darren messes up a name, they have to do a shot. So
we got a lot.
Usually ends up to where they have to listen to the podcast twice because halfway through it they can't remember anything.
We got to get that sponsor.
Yeah, we got a lot of inebriated listeners. What do you think, Lake?
Yeah, well, and you know, I was going to say to end on the one thing that I think we'd have to mention. It's not necessarily the Blues related, but the NHL has a new highest paid athlete in McGregor with his
man. That's a lot of money.
$13.5 million average.
He's got the Kimball. He just said that wrong, didn't he?
Yeah, he does have the Kimball. Connor McGregor.
Drink up, folks.
Everybody drink.
Well, hey, I'm
wrong name for the league MVP.
You got a fight on your hands.
You can come on every day now. Yeah. Every day you come on,
I will be here.
Kimball likes that, so he's not the only one screwing up names around here. Well, I didn't even realize it.
He was so nice to him and did that on purpose. So Darren wouldn't be all by himself.
No, you know what it really is Lakin's got a lot of buddies that listen to the show, and they all said, hey, we're not drinking enough these days in the show, so can you please screw up some names for us?
And MMA.
And he realized
NHL.
Kimball didn't attack too many names during this show, so he thought he'd help his buddies out.
It's about the easiest name to mess up, too.
Yeah, Jiminy Christmas. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, I appreciate all of you coming in. Jamie, I know you've got all your camps going on. For all those people that are looking for some hockey this summer, where do they go to find out about your camps?
SynergyHockeySkills.com, and if they're looking to get in camps, I would really hurry up because we're only down to a few spots left, and like almost every camp is sold out right now, which is awesome for hockey in St. Louis. But if you haven't got out there and got your kids some ice time or looking to get them in camp, I'd get on it quickly, just because we are getting real slammed and having fun developing the future of St. Louis hockey.
Well, we appreciate you, and like I said, I know how busy you are, but thanks for calling in, and we'll see what goes on around here in the next couple weeks, and we'll get back in here, and hopefully you can get over here, and we can put another show together. We appreciate you, my man.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Rivers.
That is Jamie Rivers, of course, joining us from the rink as he's out there molding and shaping young minds and young hockey players.
Molding,
yes. But But no, you know, again, I'm with you on this. You know, it's like a cautious optimism when it comes to draft picks, as usual. Obviously, I think everybody was ready for Laterra, for a change of scenery for him, so that's a positive. Again, I think in the general scheme of things, I think the prevailing thought is who's going to replace Ryan Reaves. And we're not talking about the fighting, although that is something that it's nice to have. You know, again, I compare everything. You know, he's definitely that nice vehicle. But the problem with him is you've got that nice vehicle sitting in the garage, and you actually take this one out, it's so nice, for quite a few spins. And it gets you where you need to go, and it gets you where you need to go effectively, so you got to replace that.
I just think there's a time right now going on here in St. Louis for, as far as Blues going. I sit and look at what's going on right now, and I don't know where to go with this one, Grom, so I really don't. I think after the draft has happened, I don't know if you've gone forward. I don't know if you've gone – I really don't know. I'm sort of leaning towards you've took a step back here or something is what I believe.
Really?
And I think the Shen thing is going to help you out, how Yo puts these guys together in that, but I think you're missing a big part of this outfit right now, and I'm not just talking one player. You can go out and get the Chris Neal guy, who's a tough fighter in that, but he wasn't no Ryan Reaves, and so you can go get that guy, but you need team toughness like what Nashville showed, and the Blues don't even got one guy that can do that right now. So I'm sort of, and I'm not being a dead, I'm not, because I used to fight, I'm not even talking fighting. You got no one that's going to hit, or if you want to go by and just sort of tap a guy on the shoulder and bump him a little bit, that's not what we're looking for. You got to set a presence, and they have nothing right now.
Well, and Chris, I'd be curious your thoughts on this, and Darren, you from the pro perspective and from the fan perspective, isn't the real issue that, and again, if Chris Neal's, if he's the guy, fine, no problem. Okay, I get the role that he filled.
I don't see it, though.
But here's my problem with that. I don't care who it is. If you put somebody like that on the fourth line, now you can't do with the fourth line what you did last year.
No, for sure. I completely agree.
I'm not quite sure who you can go get that you can put on that fourth line that you can roll them out there last year against other teams' top lines and really wear them down like we did with this team.
Your fourth line last year wasn't your fourth line. They probably were a two line, to be honest with you. The way they played consistently throughout the year, they were basically your best line. I don't care. They showed up every day. They changed the game. All the guys were scoring goals in that. Now, that's not what you want to be success. And the Blues had success at the end when they made the coaching change and everything changed around. But you're going in a new direction here. And I tell you, I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Well, they've got an idea of something they want to do. And, you know, you had mentioned numerous times that, you know, kind of hard to argue with Mike Yeo.
But if you go, like Chris Neal, for example, I know Riz brings a name up, but here's Chris Neal. Like, Chris Neal's not going to come here for under $700,000. You know, he's going to want probably $700,000 to $1 million. So if you're going to do that for a guy, and he's not a guy that runs out like Reeves did, that's the guy you need right now. Neal likes to go out, and he can grab a guy and slap him around, okay, and blah, blah, blah. But you're looking for a guy like an Ott, maybe, or someone. That's what you're looking for, guys like Otts. You need about two or three of them to run around and
bring him off the bench.
Yeah, exactly.
Take the suit off.
Christ, look at the guys on the bench they got right now. They got Yo, who used to be that in junior. They got Ott, and they got Berube. There you go. There's your fourth line right there for you.
That'd be fantastic.
That would be a good one.
When the coach is still played.
A little slap shot, a little Paul Newman. Reg Dunlop. Yep. Good stuff. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I was glad you were able to get this in your schedule today. I was really watching your stuff you were posting throughout the draft, and really you were keeping me educated as I wasn't around. I was relegated to my phone at a baseball diamond when it was all going on. So yeah, you definitely were a lot of help.
Thanks,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Kimmy, thanks for coming off the golf course and getting us going. Oh, you're going too.
Two.
So you've delayed your arrival to the golf course to come here and do this.
The way I played last week, they might have a bloody red carpet out there for me because I played so well.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes. Yeah, well, you did win some money.
Yes, I did.
Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
Is the wife listening? She's going to want her share?
So she don't want that. She wants bigger than that.
She wants bigger
50 bucks. That's all it was. Yeah.
That's all it really was. She's not listening anyway, I'm sure. She doesn't. She's out.
She hears me at home enough.
Yeah, she's out. Well, hey, we appreciate you. And again, thanks to Chris, our producer Brian, for putting the show together and getting everybody where they need to be when they're calling in. And again, lineupmedia.fm for all their support and allowing us to keep the show going a little bit through the summer just to pique the interest and deal with some of the things that are going on behind the scenes. Remember to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's our website where you can find this podcast and subscribe to the show, which we highly encourage as it's absolutely free. Social media is where it's at for us. Don't forget you can find us. We are at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook as well. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. like us, follow us, share our stuff around. We would be eternally grateful. Please engage with us on all those social media sites. We're happy to carry on the conversations if we're actually on there watching. If we've missed you or didn't answer, we apologize. Stay honest. We're happy to hear it. You won't be bothering us. For Darren Kimble, Jamie Rivers, this is Jim Cromer, your off-ice official, and thanks once again to our guest this week, Chris Lakin. See you guys at the ice.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.